Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Deuteronomy 29:29. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God, and such we are. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are. 1 John 3:1. Children, please stand for Bible class. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. We'll spend just a moment to allow you to find that passage in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Our subject for today is plans well established. I'll have you think about that for a few moments. Plans well established. Proverbs 16, 3 and 4. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. We're in a magnificent study this morning. It's going to require your thinking ability. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to pay real close attention and pay attention specifically to the words that are given, because we're going to be sharing with you today some specific words. You might want to write these so that you can glance at them later. It's important, as all of us know, to be in fellowship, in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we study His Word. God has given us a magnificent system. We call it the grace system of comprehension. And what does that mean? It simply means that God has given us the method of studying the Word while we're right with Him, in harmony with Him, properly related to Him, which means that we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That simply means that when God gives a command like that, He also makes it possible for that command to be observed and obeyed. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That simply means that that is a command and that you and I have the responsibility of obeying. And when we obey, our hearts are in tune, we're in harmony with Him, we're right related to Him, and then we are participating in this system, which is the grace system of comprehending, which simply means that while in fellowship, the Word of God is being proclaimed, we're listening attentively and carefully. It means that the Spirit of God is blessing our lives, and we're advancing, moving along spiritually. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today again that we are the beneficiaries of your grace. We're saved by grace. We're blessed by grace. We're kept by grace. Every day that we live, we are the recipients of grace, and we're so thankful that we are able to begin to even comprehend how wonderful God's grace is. We pray that we will understand even more clearly today that God's plans are well established. He knows exactly what He has done and is doing and will do, and We're the responsible individuals of that magnificent gift of His plans well established. We thank You for the opportunity now to just begin to see again how great and wonderful Your plan is for our lives. We thank You for the fact that we know that even though life at the longest is very brief, one of these days we will be with our Savior throughout eternity. This is not because of our goodness, not because of anything that we personally have done, other than we've accepted that magnificent plan, well-established plan, the plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow to express our thanks today for the love of our Heavenly Father. We're thankful also for the willingness of Deity 2, the Son of God, to come to this earth and go to the cross to bear our sins. And we're thankful today for Jesus. We pray that we will understand and love Him more as we live each day. We pray that You will guide us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the screen, we have for you plans well established. Proverbs 16, 3 and 4. We'll be looking at those verses in a few moments, but I have some words on the screen for you. One word is universe. Another word is world. Another word is salvation. I'm sure that all of us are aware of the fact that there are many things we know, many things that we have the ability to learn, and yet there are so many things that are so far out of our realm of understanding. When I think in terms of the universe, I realize that there's much I do not know, but I believe that the plans are well established. I decided I would go to a little research, and I found some interesting things, not everything I want to share with you, but a few things, if I can properly see it here today. I want you to see that I found from Google that the universe might be 2 billion years younger than they first thought. I thought you'd be interested in knowing that. I found that the universe is assumed to be roughly 13.7 billion years old. Now, I'm sure that you're probably very anxious to write all this information down. It's okay if you don't, but I just want you to be able to see some things that I've been able to comprehend as I looked at this. The universe might be 2 billion years younger. It's assumed that the universe is 13.7 billion years old, which would mean that the discovery now is that the universe is one day younger, which means that it's 2 billion years younger, which is a shocking study indeed. If I were to ask you a question today, what would be your definition of universe? I asked myself that question, and then I looked it up. And here's what I found. The universe is the name that we use to describe the collection of all the things that exist in space. It is made of millions of stars and planets and enormous clouds of gas separated by a gigantic empty space, which is called the universe. Astronomers can use telescopes to look at every distant galaxy. The universe is assumed to be, as I've just mentioned, and I repeat because it's startling to me, 13.7 billion years old. But a stunning new discovery says that it is significantly younger than that by one day. I have to understand when I look at the word, one word, universe. When I look at the one word, world. When I look at the one word, salvation. I'm sure that all of us are aware of the fact that much time can be spent on each one of these three words that I put on the screen for you. But I have to say that when I look at the scripture, I will discover with you that God's plans are well established in each one of these areas, specifically in the last one that I put on the screen, and that is the subject of salvation. The plan of salvation is well established. All of us many, many times have heard the story. We're fully aware of the fact that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for all of us. That's the reason why when we were little children, we memorized John 3:16. Every person in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice today, could quote that verse of scripture. It reveals to us how much God loves the world and how willing God was to give His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how willing the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth and give Himself for the sins of mankind. When I look at our verses of today, Proverbs 16:3-4, I read, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy plans shall be established." Plans well established. I'm reminded of my responsibility and yours as I look at Proverbs 16:3. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy plans shall be established." I wonder if you've given thought to the purpose and reason for your existence. Have you thought about the fact that God has a reason and a purpose for you being here and for me being here? In other words, we are reminded each day that we're here because God allows us to continue to be here. There are many people who are not here today who were here yesterday, which simply means that in the last hours, they breathed their last breath and they moved out of this earth. You and I are still here. That simply means that you and I were able to get up this morning, get dressed, and make our way into this auditorium. Which simply means that you and I are still here. Believe it or not, we may not all be here as we should be mentally, but I think we are here. So we're here. And we're here because there's a reason and a purpose for our existence. We're here because there's a reason for us still being here. We're still breathing. Our heart is still beating. We're still alive today. And so this scripture tells us that we have the responsibility to commit our works unto the Lord, and thy plans shall be established. When I go to Proverbs 16:4, I see, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." Most of us are aware of the fact that in the previous weeks we've been dealing with the subject of evil. This verse of scripture is rather startling for us, Proverbs 16:4. "For the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." By now, all of us are aware of the fact that evil is satanic thinking. All of us are aware of the fact that we either think God's thoughts, have vertical viewpoint, divine viewpoint, or we think human viewpoint, horizontal viewpoint, human thoughts. We have the responsibility of thinking as God would have us think. We've learned in recent days, and we've known it all along, really, that we cannot think God's thoughts unless we have the thoughts of God. which means that we have the responsibility of receiving spiritual fuel for our souls. And we receive spiritual fuel by knowing what the Word of God says. That's the reason why the Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we have the responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to have the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. And when we have His thinking, we're able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. Doesn't mean that we see everything from a divine viewpoint, but the more we're able to see God's truth in God's ways, the more we're able to comprehend and see vertically more things from a divine viewpoint. When I go to Isaiah 45, verse 7, here's what I read. I have it on the screen for you to see. "I am the Lord, and there is none else." That's Isaiah 45, 7. When you go on in that verse, here's what you read. In Isaiah 45, 7, "I molded, formed the light, truth, and create darkness." I would encourage you to write this verse down and pay very close attention to the words that I'm saying. Isaiah 45, 7 says, "I formed the light." We have a Hebrew word here. We'll talk about it in a few moments. "I formed the light," truth, "and create darkness." There's a Hebrew word that you perhaps would like to write. It's the word B-A-R-A, which means something that has been formed, which says light was formed, and then it says, and darkness was created. I'm letting you have time to think with me because I want you to summarize in a few moments some of the thoughts that have been presented. Isaiah 45, 7 says, "I molded, I formed light, truth, and created," bara, "darkness." Light was formed, darkness was created. When you go to Genesis chapter 1 and read verses 3, 4, and 5, you will discover that the word darkness is the result of Satan. In other words, darkness came as a result of the rebellion of the one God says, "I created." Darkness came as the result of the rebellion of the one I created, an angel, Lucifer. So to reiterate, let's look again at the word bara, B-A-R-A. The word bara in the Hebrew means to create out of nothing. Darkness came as a result of the rebellion of one I created, an angel, Lucifer. Bara, created out of nothing. "This angel I made," God says, asa, something out of something. Now the word is asa, A-S-A-H, something out of something. Notice, if you will, please, the angel who rejected, "I created," angel, Lucifer, bara, create out of nothing. Angel who rejected, "I made," I saw, something out of something. I made something out of something. What did I make out of something? Prosperity. Prosperity is the word that is translated truth. Prosperity comes from truth. And then it says, and create evil. I'm trying to put this simply for you to be able to see that evil came as a result of the rebellion of one I created, God says, Lucifer. Bara, create out of nothing. Angel, rejected, and evil resulted. In Isaiah chapter 45, we're still there, but now we're looking at the B part of the verse. I, Jehovah, the Lord, manufacture these things. The Hebrew word is actually saying, I'm manufacturing these things. And the word there then is asah, A-S-A-H, which means to make something out of something. God is saying then that mankind has the ability to make decisions. Angels, we're told, also had the ability to make decisions, free will. In the light of all of this, we have to say, though, that God is saying, I have to let you understand that I have an overall purpose and plan. I want all of you to know that I have the final say, even with the free choice, the free will of man and angels. I'm still in charge. The plan is well established. God is the winner. I wrote it out like this. The bulldozer of God's plan is moving right on. And we choose either to get with the plan or get smashed by it. In the light of all that I've said so far, darkness doesn't come directly from God. But God created the creature that brought darkness into the world. It's important for you to be sure that it's clear in your mind. Darkness doesn't come directly from God. But God created the creature that brought darkness into the world. So we know then that Satan is the author of darkness. What are we saying? God created an angel. The Bible describes this angel as the son of the morning, the day star. The Bible describes this angel as a light being, absolutely perfect. The Bible describes this individual as one with free will. This angel is described as one having the ability to make decisions. And most of you are aware of this. If you want to find out something about Satan, you find it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Those are the passages of Scripture that you should record. This angel had a choice. And because of pride, bad decision was made. This is described for us vividly in Isaiah chapter 14, 12, 13, and 14. I don't know how much of this you're taking down, but I would encourage you to do it. Also, this is described in Ezekiel chapter 28, 12, 13, and 14. We have to understand something about this angel nature. In this angel nature, he turned against God. And as a result of turning against God, from him came darkness. What we have to see then is that God created this angel with choice. He chose to turn against. He chose to turn negative. He chose to turn against God and turn light to darkness. These words are very powerful. It would take hours to present them in detail. I'm only hitting them lightly. The word bara, B-A-R-A, is used because God created the angel out of nothing, who in turn, because of choice, turned light to darkness. What you can see is that I've taken these words and I've tried to develop it in such a way that you're able to take a glimpse and draw then some quick conclusions. These are powerful words in the original language, B-A-R-A. Bara is used because God created the angel out of nothing, who in turn, because of choice, volition, turned light to darkness. What you have to see is what I have next. Satan is creature. God is creator. God's plans are well established. What you and I have to see is that God continues to control. Even though his created beings often disobey his will and design. One powerful statement I've just made, because I'm aware of the fact that you and I have on a daily basis the opportunity to make decisions that are either right or wrong. We have the responsibility of doing what is right, what is biblical. We have the opportunity and the privilege of being in the center and heart of God's plan. God continues to control, even though many times you and I as created beings disobey his will and his design. Man can choose to disobey, but the Lord is still the ruler of history. If you don't get anything else out of this message, and I'm trying to be brief today because we have a lot of things on our mind and we have to think seriously in these moments. Jesus Christ controls history. I would encourage you, even though your mind may be wondering about potluck and did I put the food in the right place and all the other things, I want you to remember that the statement that is so powerful and true is God's plans are well established in relationship to all of these facets that I mentioned at the beginning of the message. The universe, the world, salvation. Jesus Christ controls history. In this verse of scripture, the power of the word of God is saying, I make peace. And the Greek, the Hebrew word there is asah, A-S-A-H, which means to make something out of something. I make shalom. I make prosperity. I jotted you a little note here. God is the one who manufactures. God is the one who manufactures shalom, our peace, our prosperity. The question that I have is, how does God manufacture prosperity? God makes prosperity out of something for every believer. The question is, what is his building material to make prosperity in all these realms of life? And I'm specifically talking about spiritual prosperity now. What is his building material to make this prosperity? And you can see the answer. His message. His word. Number four, you will notice that this scripture also says, and created evil. And again, the Hebrew word there is bara, to create out of nothing. This goes back to Satan, the author of darkness. He was created out of nothing, made absolutely perfect. This scripture tells us that Lucifer, the day star, chose to disobey, and he brought darkness from Satan comes evil. The reason why I'm dealing with this subject, and will continue for a few more weeks, is that when you and I become acquainted, fully more acquainted, I shouldn't say fully acquainted, but more acquainted with the subject of evil and Satan, the more we will find ourselves as triumphant and victorious believers. Words for create, I repeat, bara, create out of nothing, to bring into existence that which was not. When I read Genesis 1:1, 21-27, when I read Isaiah 45:7, the word is used for the creation of man's soul. When I look again at the word asah, to make something out of something, I see that the word means to fashion out of existing materials. So when I go to Genesis 1:3 and 7 and 9 and 16, this word is used for creating man's personality in the soul. Wow. The personality is derived from the essence of the soul. When I look at the next word in the Hebrew, J-A-T-S-A-R-Y-A-T-S-E-R, the word is pronounced yatsar, mold, translated molded, emphasizes man's body. Man's body was molded in Isaiah 45:7 and Genesis 2:7. I think you're going to find this interesting, and you'll notice also that there's another Hebrew word, bana. The word bana is to build. The word means good taste in the plan and proportions of the structure. I'll just tell you this secretly. When God talked about how he was going to build the woman for man, he used the word bana. Some of you got that. Good taste. Building in good taste. Good proportions. The structure is right. The Bible says the woman was benign, made from the man's body in great proportion. These are beautiful words. You've only gotten a tiny little taste. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today how well established your plan is in relationship to all these many facets of life, in relationship to the universe, in relationship to the world, in relationship to the creation of mankind, in relationship to salvation. All of this is so wonderful and magnificent and beautiful. The plan is so well established. The more we study, the more we realize how beautiful and magnificent God's plan is. We're here today because of your grace, and we thank you. We're here as saved individuals. We're thankful for that. We're aware of the fact that we're saved not because we're good. We're saved not because we've joined a church or that we are trying to keep ourselves in proper relationship on a day-by-day basis. We're not saved because of the goodness of our lives. We're saved by grace. We're thankful that the scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. There's no boasting in salvation except to magnify the one who saves us, the one who gives us life. And we realize that the scripture says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. We're aware of the fact that this reveals to us very vividly that salvation is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. and that deity too, God's Son, was willing to leave the glory of heaven and come to the earth as the God-man, God in the flesh, and live and then go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. We do not know, but there may be one or two or many hearing this voice today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This would be such a wonderful time for them if they would do just that. Because the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's so beautiful, so magnificent, so wonderful that the gift of salvation is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It doesn't come by trying to be good. It doesn't come by joining a church. It doesn't come by some church ritual. It comes by believing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. This is a good day for us. We're here to think about how we can share the good news with people in other places around the world. And we're thinking in terms of Zambia, Africa, and other places. Help us to understand that we not only have the responsibility to give the good news where we live, but we have the responsibility of giving the good news out to other places around the world. We pray that there will be those at this moment who will trust you. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.